Thank you and good morning to you all. It's a great pleasure to greet you this morning. I can't remember the last time I was here, but we always enjoy coming up. I'm happy to see that you survived the time change. That's always good. I was asleep last night at 2 a.m., so I missed it. But you know, I'm okay with the time change, but could they just turn the clock back to Friday? I mean, that would be better. So anyways, it's good to be here and to be able to share with you and renew fellowship with you. And it's a great joy to come up and speak this morning and again this evening as well. And I'll just invite you to the book of Acts, chapter 16. I could give you all a lengthy little preamble of things going on in our lives, but I think we'll just start with a message so that we don't have to do another time change at the end of the message. So I'd like to look at one of my favorite places in the Bible, the book of Acts, and then one of my favorite chapters. And I want to start reading at verse 11. Let's just start with the text, part of the text anyways. Acts chapter 16 and verse 11. It says, "Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. And the next day we came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." And then I want to direct your attention further on to verse 30, verses 30 and 31, which I think are key verses for the chapter. This is the Roman jailer, who's a character later on in the passage, whom we'll get to later. But it says, "And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" So this Roman jailer asks the question, "What must I do to be saved?" That's the most important question in the world. In your life on planet Earth, that's the answer to that question is the most important question. What must I do to be saved? And it's interesting, if you were to go and ask somebody on the street later today or tomorrow or this week, and you ask a number of people that question, you will invariably get a multitude of different answers. And of course, the answer to that question is the next verse, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Another beautiful verse. And of course, it's the most simple statement of how to be saved. But, you know, you have to think about what it means to believe, who Jesus was, what it means to be saved, and so on. But this is the simplest statement. The beauty of simplicity here is just wonderful, isn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So this is a chapter about three people who got saved. It's like a case study of three people, and it shows their conversion, how the gospel came to them, how they heard it, and how they responded and were saved. So it's a beautiful chapter. Now, this chapter is, well, I said first of all that Acts is one of my favorite books. It's just full of action, and I love it because it's a missionary book, okay? It's also a church history book. And it's the only inspired church history. But this chapter, it represents what they would call, what did they call it? An inflection point in history. Because in this chapter, you have the gospel reaching for the very first time the continent of Europe, okay? So the gospel started in Jerusalem, where Jesus was and lived and died. And that's the gospel, that he died and rose again. And this message went from Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the world. Well, this chapter marks the moment where the gospel arrived on European soil for the very first time. And if you read this chapter, Paul tried to go east twice. He was going east. That was his plan. I'm going east. And God said to him, no, you're not. I'm the CEO of missions. And you're going to follow my plan. And my plan is to go west, young man. And you're going to go west and you're going to go to the continent of Europe. And the rest is history. The rest is history. And the gospel started there. So they go to Neapolis on the Aegean Sea. And this is, you know, part of Italy. You know, the boot there that you see on your map. And it's a port on the coast. And then it says from there they went to Philippi. And it was about 10 kilometers inland. And the writer, Luke, is careful to tell us that this city was a principal city. It was strategic. And not only that, but it was a colony. And so it was a colony of Rome. So it was, in effect, a Rome away from Rome. Okay? And so it was a city where oftentimes the Roman soldiers would go to retire. It was like a retirement community, okay? And thus you have this Roman jailer. And we'll get to him later. So it's strategic. And we have in this chapter the gospel changing people's lives. And we have three characters. We have three people here. And they are this woman named Lydia. She's named. And she's going to a prayer meeting. A ladies' prayer meeting at the river. There was no synagogue in the city, which was normally where this activity would happen. But they were praying. So there's a woman named Lydia. Then there's an unnamed slave girl. And she's the next character. We're going to see how the gospel reaches her. Interesting story. I'm not fully